You know, the fact that he was going to take the vessels of God, the holy vessels of God, and that he was going to use them at his party. And so he would have been a good candidate to write this song. Y'all, I'm going to lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all going to make me act a fool. Up in here, up in here. That he had the gall to take the vessels of God and to defile them at his party.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Coming Up Light on God's Scale. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Coming Up Light on God's Scale.
All right. Today we are continuing in the book of Daniel. We've come to chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 27 to start out, and then we'll unpack the rest of this chapter. Daniel chapter 5, verse 27. And here we read the words, Tekel, Tekel, thou art weighted in the balances and found wanting. In the second slide, I give the translation from the Amplified Bible, and it says that you have been weighed on the scales of righteousness and found deficient. You've been weighed on the scales of righteousness and found deficient. Amen. Coming up light on God's scale. Coming up light. What are some places that we can come up light? You know, we can come up light as a Christian. We can come up light as an employee. We can come up light as a husband, as a father. We can come up light in many ways. We see here that Belshazzar had been weighed in the scales of righteousness, and he was found deficient. He was found deficient. What are some things that are deficient? What are some things that are deficient? A body without vitamin D. There's a deficiency there. How many people want to go see a doctor without a degree? There's some deficiency there. You think back to the Wizard of Oz, there was the timid and cowardly lion. There was some deficiency there. And then you look at athletes who just stopped trying. There's some deficiency there. If you have a bank account with no money, somebody said that's a problem. Right? Or you got a bee that can't make any honey. There's a deficiency there. A fisherman that doesn't have a rod, right? There's a deficiency there. And if you got religion without God, there's a deficiency there. Instructions without details. How many ever got some instructions and it didn't explain it the way that you could understand it, right? Instructions without details. And then finally, as we look at our text today, we see Belshazzar, who was weighed on God's scales. We're going to look at this fifth chapter. And the first thing that we are going to look at is this ball that Nebuchadnezzar or Belshazzar throws. Look at chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine
before the thousands. Now, Belshazzar was actually the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. I know a couple times in the scripture it says that Nebuchadnezzar was his father, but he actually was the grandfather of Belshazzar. So Nebuchadnezzar has passed off the scene, and now Belshazzar throws this ball. Now, how many people have ever planned a party and you plan the party to fail, right? Everybody that throws a party, you want everybody to come and you want everybody to have a good time, right? Nobody wants to plan a party that's going to end in tragedy, right? But here's one party that's going to end in tragedy. We like good outcomes. I remember I was at a party on one occasion, and you know, one of them parties back in the 70s, so I don't need to tell y'all anymore. And the guy came over to me. You know, my eyes was red. He came over to me, and he said, you see that lady over there? And I said, yeah. He said, she said, meet her by the steps over there, right? So I go over the steps, and the young lady is standing at the steps. And I said to her, what do you want? And she said to me, what do you want? And I said, well, that guy told me you said for me to meet you over here by the steps. And she said, well, he told me that you said for me to meet you over here by the steps. And that happened about 45 years ago. And I've been with that lady ever since. Amen, amen, amen. That was a party that turned out good in more than one way. And so Belshazzar, he throws this party in, and the party doesn't turn out too well. So we see the ball, and then we see the gall. That this guy, well, let's read it. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and the princes, his wives and his concubines, might drink from them. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and the princes, his wives and his concubines, drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of bronze, of iron, of wood, and of stone. So years ago, his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, when he invaded Jerusalem, in the holy temple of God, that there were vessels that were designed and created for God's use and God's service. And Nebuchadnezzar took them from Jerusalem, and he took them all the way to Babylon. And so one night, as he's having this party, Belshazzar is getting a little tipsy. And as he's getting tipsy, can you imagine, somebody go get the vessels that my granddad bought from Jerusalem. And he brings these vessels, and you know, if I think that Belshazzar would have been a good person to write this song. You know, the fact that he was going to take the vessels of God, the holy vessels of God, and that he was going to use them at his party. And so he would have been a good candidate to write this song. Y'all, I'm going to lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all going to make me act a fool. Up in here, up in here. That he had the gall to take the vessels of God and to defile them at his party. Then we see the wall, the ball, the gall, and then the wall in verse 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the lampstand upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. He was terrified. That all of a sudden, notice it didn't say the hand, it says fingers appeared on the wall, and it started writing on the wall. And this was what is known as the handwriting on the wall. And we use that expression today to say that something bad is about to happen to you, that the handwriting is on the wall. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're coming down to the end of whatever it is that you're dealing with, and God is trying to show you that the handwriting is on the wall, that you better get things straight, that you better get your house in order, because the handwriting is on the wall. Something bad is going to happen. We think of, and we thank God that he's a God of grace. We thank God that he's a God of mercy, that he's a God of second chance. But you know, sometimes when God writes on your wall, he's letting you know that the end is near. It is time to make a change. I remember when I was in seminary, and Pastor McFarland, good friend of mine, we had gone to the tire shop so that he could get some tires for his car. And you know Pastor McFarland, man. Pastor McFarland, he's like an upbeat guy. He's like a guy of faith. Man, praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, he's just one of those fired up, upbeat guys, right? And so we go in there, man. You know, this brother's tire is all the way down to the tread that wore off. You know, it's all the way down to the steel belt. You know, I mean, that's how bad that the tire was. And he took it into the shop, and the guy told him, he said, Mac, he said, man, you know, you don't need to be driving on tires like this. He said, this is pretty bad when your tires get down like this. And Pastor McFarland said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. And the guy at the tire shop said, yeah, but he gets out when the tires get like this. See, maybe your tires, the handwriting is on the wall, right? You out there driving on the belt, right? The handwriting is on the wall. It's just a matter of time before something bad happens. You know, God is good and God takes care of us, but when the handwriting is on the wall, we need to come to that realization. The scrawl we see in verses 24 and 29. All right, the scrawl. Look at verses 24 through 29. Then was part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. Oh, I missed the whole part, didn't I? The call. Did I miss the call? Oh, yeah, I can't. I missed the call. Oh, I missed the call. All right. The call, right? So after he sees the handwriting on the wall, then he sees the call. And so the king calls all the wise men to interpret this writing. And they all come, and none of the wise men can interpret the writing in verses 8 and 9. Now, the queen gets word about what's happening at this party. And she comes, and this is powerful. Let's look at this in verses 10 and 11. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, she came to the banquet house. And the queen spoke and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts be troubled, let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and wisdom and understanding, the light, the wisdom of the gods was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And so after seeing this handwriting on the wall, the queen, she comes. And now the queen is not Belshazzar's wife, because it says that they were already at the party, right? So who is this? This is actually Belshazzar's grandmother. It's actually Nebuchadnezzar's wife. And she hears about this party that's going on, this handwriting on the wall, and she hears about all these wise men that came and couldn't interpret the handwriting on the wall. And so what does she do? She said, there's a guy. So by this time, as popular as Daniel was, Daniel, he was taken into captivity when he was about 15 years old. Now in this chapter here, Daniel's about 80 or 90 years old. And so they have actually forgot about Daniel. They've tucked him away somewhere in a place of obscurity. And the queen says, I remember a guy. I remember a guy. And he interpreted dreams for your grandfather. And in him is the spirit of the gods, of the holy gods. And so they call Daniel. And Daniel comes to the king. And the first thing that Daniel does is Daniel rebukes the king. You know, instead of coming and interpreting the handwriting, Daniel comes and he offers a rebuke to the king. Now, one of the things that had happened, and we looked at this the last 2 weeks, Nebuchadnezzar, because of his pride, that he went out and he looked at all the kingdom that he had created, all the things that he had built, and he said, is this not great Babylon that I have built? And as he was bragging, the Bible says that from that time, you know, God caused him to be like an animal and drove him to the field. And that for 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar ate grass with the beasts of the field. And after those 7 years, God restored Nebuchadnezzar back to the throne. And here's his grandson, Belshazzar, drinking out of the vessels of God. So I like what Daniel does. Daniel rehearses the story with him. He says in verse 18, he says, O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. For the majesty that he gave him, all the people, nations, languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would slew and he would keep alive, and whom he would set up and whom he would put down. So Nebuchadnezzar was a bad boy. He ran the kingdom. But look at verse 20. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men. And his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men and appointed it to whomsoever he wills. And I like this right here. I like this. And thou, Daniel says, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, you have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this. Though you knew all this. You remember that song by Kurt Franklin, and Stomp? Nothing but the stomp. And remember there's a part in there he says, and you know this, man. Right? And so that's what Daniel says. Man, all the mess that your grandfather went through. And then you have the nerve to turn around and do the same thing that he did, and you saw what happened to him. And you know this, man. You know this. And yet and still, you did what you did. And so that was the call. And then we move on to the next one, and we see the scroll. In verses 24 through 29, in verse 24, then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God has numbered the kingdom, and finished it. Tico, thou art weighted in the balances and found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And we see that the interpretation of the scrawl, meaning, is the Aramaic word that means to number. Tekel is the Aramaic word that means to weigh. And Perez, you know, it says Euphorion, but Euphorion is actually the plural of Perez. And Perez is the Aramaic word that means to break or divide, if you go to that next slide. Meaning, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and put an end to it. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales of righteousness, and you've been found deficient. And then Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given over to the Medes and the Persians. And then finally, we see the fall. That night, Belshazzar was killed, and his kingdom was taken over by the Medes and the Persians. So we've told this story, right? We've told this story, and we see that Belshazzar actually came up light in respect for God and in recognition of God. He came up light that he didn't respect God. Number one, he took the vessels of God and he drank wine out of them. So he showed no respect for God. And then he showed no recognition for God in the fact that he didn't even acknowledge God. He acknowledged the God of gold and wood and silver and bronze. He acknowledged every other God but God. And so he was weighed in the balance and found wanting. As I wind this down, how does this apply to us? Well, God, his scales weigh things that nobody can see. God's scales weigh things that nobody can see. God weighs your integrity, and God weighs your motives. People can't see your integrity. They might see the results of your integrity, but they can't see your integrity. They can't see your motives. They can see the results of your motives, but they can't see your motives. And so I'm here to say today that sometimes, if you go to that next slide, sometimes we think that we're getting over. And you can fool some of the people some of the time. You can fool all of the people all the time, but you can't fool God anytime. And when God weighs you in the scales of his balance, and if you don't measure up, you're going to come up a little light. If you go to the next slide, God's scales weighs things that nobody can see. That nobody can see. God's scales weigh your motives. And your motives deal with the reason why you do a certain thing. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 5, 1 Corinthians 4, in verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. God will expose our motives. That whenever we are weighed in God's scales, something that no one else can see, God will expose our motives. If you are singing to impress people, God will expose your motive. If you're singing to glorify God, God will expose your motive.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Coming Up Light on God's Scale. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Coming Up Light on God's Scale, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Coming Up Light on God's Scale. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Coming Up Light on God's Scale. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.